This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's time for international LGBT news and current affairs, especially for our community. This is Worldwide Wave. We take you around the globe one country at a time. And doing that in the studio tonight is Paul.
Hello.
Welcome back to the microphone, Tom.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. Now, a big thank you there to the team for the Informer. Very interesting take on the same-sex marriage debate here in Australia. And also Richard for bringing us the news each and every week. Now, last week, we began exploring the latest survey from ILGA, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. It's perhaps the largest survey in the world of attitudes towards sexual orientation and gender identity. For such a large report, we couldn't possibly fit it all into one show, so tonight we delve a little further into the insights.
What is the impact of attitudes of criminalisation of homosexuality?
How do the attitudes of young people differ from those in older generations?
And we have the data to prove who is better, Australia or New Zealand. Now, to interrogate the data and turn it into something a bit more meaningful, tonight we're joined by Angus Carroll, co-author of the ILGA RIMWE Global Attitude Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sexual Minorities.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
I Believe in Love there. That came from Mirror Mirror, a movie featuring Julie Roberts and based on the Cinderella story. Now, the music today is all youth-based.
Youth-focused, because that was actually one of the findings in this massive report research project that was undertaken on attitudes towards LGBTI people. We would love you to be a part of the show tonight. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Another fascinating part of this report that we're delving into is the impact of criminalisation of homosexuality on people's attitudes towards LGBT people.
And guess how many are still... How many countries do you think are still criminalise homosexuality?
You would think that would be a simple question. It's in the 70s.
It's in the 70s. There is a bit of debate about the actual figure. It varies from about 72 to 75, 76, depending on what you class as a country.
And it's 72 to 75 or 6 too many, I would say.
It's certainly too many, should be zero.
So let's say around 75, but half of those countries, Paul...
I've already apologised once.
They are in the Commonwealth, and the historic British Empire sodomy laws, Section 377, are still around, even though the mother country has long
moved on.
Has moved on. Yes.
Yes. In addition, about 50 countries of that 75, which still criminalise homosexuality, have already ratified the UN's International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights.
So this means that the people within those countries have the option of bringing complaint about a violation of their rights to the United Nations, and another avenue, I guess, to take things on. It's not quite that simple, but that avenue is there.
So regionally, most of the countries that criminalise homosexuality are found in Africa. Surprise, surprise.
Probably not whole, completely surprising. Middle East follows next and closely followed by Asia.
Now, the penalties for homosexuality can range from fines to the death penalty.
There is some good news, though. That figure of roughly 72 to 75, it's down from 92 countries in 2006. So there are... there is some progress being made, and there is one region in the world that has no country within it with laws that criminalise same-sex behaviour.
Would that be my home continent of Europe?
It would be Europe. It would be Europe. Now,
it's not altogether positive because there are some anti-LGBT legislation.
Yeah, you've got things like the Russian anti-gay propaganda laws, but you can be gay, you just can't talk about it.
Yeah, so Russia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Moldova, Belarus, and then there's also Kyrgyzstan. We don't really want to go to Kyrgyzstan, really.
So that sort of sets the scene. Let's find out what the views that have come out in the ILGA survey in this past week. It's Worldwide Wave.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
In probably the biggest survey of its kind, over 116,000 people from 77 countries have had their say on what they think of sexual identity and gender expression. It has been undertaken by ILGA, the International Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, and the research company RIWI. This includes the countries we were just mentioning, or many of the countries we were just mentioning there, where homosexuality is criminalised. If you are in one of those countries where you only know homosexuality is a crime, surely that would impact your attitudes towards LGBT people. ILGA's report co-author Angus Carroll explains what the survey actually showed.
Yes, we see that we surveyed 77 states, and of the 77 states that we surveyed, 25 of them are criminalizing, okay? And in the criminalizing states, we see on the question that we're asking, should we be criminalized? We looked at the answers from people within criminalizing states, and we looked at the answers from people in non-criminalizing states. And we see that 42% of the cohort in criminalizing states think we should be criminalized. That differs to 22% of people in non-criminalizing states thinks that we should be criminalized. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, scarily, yes. So,
yes. And then if you flip that, we see that 55% of respondents in non-criminalizing states reject the idea, while only 36% reject the statement in the 25 criminalizing states.
Does that criminalization then roll across to other attitudes about freedoms, or there was a question about living beside a neighbor? Like, does it, does having criminalization make you more negative overall to LGBTI people?
Absolutely. There's absolute clear evidence that this is the case. We find two things happening in criminalizing states. One is less people claim to know someone. So in criminalizing states, less people, less of the respondents know an LGBT person or an LGB person, because it's sexual orientation that we're talking about there. Less people know somebody, and their views are more negative. That's absolutely the case in criminalizing. So the force of the law, the point there is that the force of the law is really evident in public attitudes. You know, there is a, often in our advocacy around the world, people think there's an awful overemphasis on decriminalization and that we should be spending more time advocating for non-discrimination or equality issues. And I think that's a really, I probably subscribe to that idea as well. But we do see the power of decriminalization. And I think the processes of decriminalization may be a bit like the process of same-sex marriage in Australia right now. I think the processes of decriminalization in societies are discursive. Conversations have got to happen in the public space by public representatives. I mean, much like your marriage stuff at the moment, it's in the air everywhere. Like we had this in Ireland 2 years ago with our referendum here on marriage. You know, the conversation is everywhere. It's alive. And that happens more in non-criminalizing states. In criminalizing states, the conversation is much more shut down. Media is more limited. NGO activity is much less evident.
That's Angus Carroll from ILGA, co-author of the Global Attitude Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sexual Minorities report. It is that real challenge that if homosexuality is a criminal act in your country, then you're less likely to speak up or be visible or, you know, be able to share with your family or friends what you're doing.
Especially if it's the death penalty for being LGBTI.
Yeah, or if you're in a country where, you know, you might that might cause police action or violence against you.
So I'm not surprised that the survey shows that people are less likely to know people from those kind of countries.
But it does, I guess, how do you then make change in that you kind of need, the survey sort of saying that visibility is this positive effect. You need somebody to stick their head up out of the trenches and go, hey, I'm gay.
Or can you change the laws, which then changes the attitudes, which then helps?
Is it chicken or the egg? It is, because some countries have sort of gone down, and Angus was sort of talking there about an approach to try and decriminalise versus one which talks about anti-discrimination. It's much easier to have a public discussion about anti-discrimination and putting in place laws to, you know, take away discrimination from a whole range of people. So some countries have sort of, the gay community has linked with women's groups to try and bring about anti-discrimination changes and therefore take a softly approach. But certainly it seems like this data is saying that there's a lot of advantages in decriminalising.
Well, certainly for the LGBT people in those countries, it's got to be a plus.
Definitely. Now, coming up, we've got more with Angus, and we find out how the religious beliefs mix with views on sexual orientation. And let me tell you, the answers might just surprise you. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
Yeah. Splits the sea. I would swear that there's someone somewhere watching me. Through the wind and the chill and the rain and the storm and the flood, I can feel his approach like fire in my blood.
Holding out for a hero, not the only one. That's actually from Shrek 2.
Didn't mind that version, actually. I bet there's a lot of countries holding out from heroes as well. Hey, we have had some heroes in our campaign here, and we should give our nod to the campaigners that have been fighting and done so well. We weren't glossing over the fact. We just thought most people would have heard the news here.
I believe it's been covered once or twice.
Was there anything that surprised you? I mean, there's been a lot made of the Western Sydney no vote.
The concentration of it surprised me.
It surprised me at the time, but I think in my mind, 133 electorates voted yes and 17 no, and there seems to be so much focus on even a subset of those 17. So we're focusing on the negative rather than, I guess, the LGBTI community has been celebrating, but there's a lot of media focus on the negative.
I was expecting maybe slightly higher, yes. I mean, I'm quite happy with 61.6, but I was hoping for like around 70.
That would have been nice.
But it's a fairly substantial result.
And the ACT beat Victoria. Now, that one shocked me too.
They are smaller. It's probably easier to organise.
It probably is. And I think, yes. So Victoria as a state, and certainly a populous state, was the most progressive. And in fact, Melbourne, the heartland that we are now broadcasting from, was the highest yes vote in Australia. So well done, peeps of Melbourne. Enjoy listening. we are talking all things LGBT numbers and attitudes tonight. This has come out of a global survey from ILGA, and it asked some interesting questions, particularly around how opinions toward sexual minorities interplays with respect for religion and respect for cultural beliefs. We asked our guest Angus Carroll from ILGA how these attitudes varied across cultures and regions.
The religion thing is really interesting. I agree. I was really interested in this question. What we didn't have in 2016 when we approached this survey and we were starting this whole process is we didn't have a reference group or a very strong advisory group. For this 2017 survey, we developed a really strong advisory group of really incredible statisticians and academics who understand surveying our very specific communities. And this is how we found this question. And the question on culture, which is the same one, is can you respect? Let me just pull out the actual question. It is possible to respect my culture and be accepting of people who are romantically or sexually attracted to people of the same sex. Or, and the equivalent question for trans or for gender identity is that it is possible to respect my religion and be accepting of people who dress, act, or identify as one sex, although they were born as another. That's how we captured trans. So we ask that question about religion, and we also ask the same question about culture. It is possible to respect my culture and be accepting. And the answers are really similar for both. And what we found is that we were really delighted with these findings, actually, because there's a huge acceptance that people feel that they can be respectful of their religion if they have one, and be inclusive. And we found that around 53% of the population agreed that they could be. That's the world population. And then with a further sort of 30% not knowing. What I'm trying to say is that there was a very large response of people who either agreed that they could be respectful or did not give an opinion. And so there's a very small, worldwide, there was a very small disagreement. In Africa and Asia, there was the strongest disagreement, all in the 40s, early 40s and mid 40s. While when you get into Europe, Americas, and Oceania, you're down into the teens and early 20s of people who reject the idea, the percentages who reject the idea.
So does that sort of indicate that religions are changing or people aren't listening to religions as much? Do you get any feel for what that actually means?
I don't think that actually either of those things. I actually think that it is misrepresentation by faith leaders in the political space. It is usage of faith and faith traditions by religious and political leaders, actually, is what I think. I think that they employ the device of faith as a rhetoric for rejection of what are actually political, social and political concerns. And so I actually think that it is largely cheap shot. You know, I think it's easy to make us evil, to call us, you know, to not include us. And I think faith communities around the world from all the religions are actually much more inclusive of gender and sexual diversity than their leaders would say. And this has been a debate that's gone on forever and ever. Like at the United Nations, for example, Women Living Under Muslim Law would ask, who are the representations? Who are our representatives? These conservative Muslim men at the UN who have grabbed power and who have power. But they're not actually reflecting our voices. So the Woman Living Under Muslim Law organization would say. And I think that's very true, that often states don't reflect civil society voices.
And that's something we are having first-hand experience of in our marriage equality debate. Looking at the countries with, poor attitude ratings, there's one of those desires which we hope to see that the next generation is going to be more positive than the last. Did you notice that coming through in the numbers, that younger people are more positive towards LGBTI people?
Okay, not vastly, unfortunately, but that kind of narrative that you just gave there, that kind of progress narrative that the younger people will be stronger and clearer than the older is... Yeah, absolutely. I subscribe to that. That is a nice wish. I think that the data shows us a couple of percent, and I'm talking very generally now, and this changes on specific questions, but I think that we find, the news on that front is if there is a slightly warmer or slightly more inclusive tendency amongst the younger people. However, I would say this. Amongst the younger people, it's more absolutist. It's agree or disagree. There's less don't know space in the middle. With the older people, you find there are more people in the neither agree nor disagree categories. We find with younger people across the globe on all attitudes that they are generally warmer towards trans and more familiar with trans people than with sexual orientation, which was kind of interesting.
So that sort of change to the future is much more therefore aligned with either knowing somebody, having that personal contact, or removal of criminalisation?
Well, if you want to look at where younger people are focusing, I think that younger people are focusing their attention is not so much going towards sexual orientation field, but it's more going towards the gender identity field. And gender expression field. That's what I'm seeing. You know, you get much more people who identify, oh my God, there's a whole area that we haven't talked about that we can touch on now for a moment. There's much more people who identify as trans, and there's many more people who define as non-binary in the younger cohort than in the older. And so what we're finding there then is that their understanding of self in terms of the expression of self, of which sexuality might be a component, is something that younger people have much more interest in rather than necessarily the rights to it. So for advocates, the suggestion there for advocacy is that young people are engaged, but they're not engaged in the traditional campaigns like for decriminalization. And I do think you're absolutely right. I think knowing somebody is exactly the key with younger people. And that's what we need to keep doing it. We need to keep being visible. The problem, of course, with visibility in many countries is that it's just plainly dangerous. You know, we find in countries like Cameroon, where Eric Lembebe was active and then got murdered in a couple of years ago because he was so visible. And I just think it's kind of, you know, the visibility argument is great in these parts of the world, in the safer parts of the world. Now, I've got to say also about visibility for trans people can often be, as we know from the trans murder map, we know that the documentation for violence against people for being visible is really huge as well. It's very complicated. I don't think it's very easy to get.
You can't get all the answers in one survey.
Simple takeaways, no, but what this survey hopefully does is that it opens up a whole stack of questions and provides a whole stack of information to support.
That's Angus Carroll there, who's the co-author of this report with George Robotham, who's also the chair of Dublin's LGBTI Centre.
Come out wherever you are. That's kind of the message, and the message from Harvey Milk. He had it right, 30-odd years ago, that it's very hard to hate somebody if you know somebody.
Yeah, once you've actually turned that symbol into a person, it's very difficult to go back.
Even in something that always impresses me on this program is when we go to a country where there are really negative attitudes, even violence against LGBT people, there's still some form of local advocacy group, and there's still some champion who is willing to put themselves forward. Even Cameroon, which was mentioned, whilst one of the lead advocates who was very visible was murdered, somebody else stepped up again. So I am heartened that despite these risks, and hey, we got it pretty soft here in Australia, but despite these risks, somebody is still willing to, they can see a different country.
Someone is always going to take on the cause that LGBT rights are human rights. When it comes down to it, we're all humans in the end, and we should all have the same rights.
It did surprise me, though, that young people weren't more positive. That's just been something that maybe it's too idealistic, but
didn't surprise me that they either are black or white. You know, either they agree or they don't agree.
Hmm.
There's no middle ground. It's either a like or it's a dislike.
Hopefully they go further than the click on social media, but, you know, that's a start. But it still does then come back to, in order to make that change, regardless of the generation, it's all about knowing somebody or
decriminalising. They were more positive about trends. People, more exposure to them.
Yeah, sexual orientation sort of doesn't seem to be an issue. It's not.
It's more about gender identity. They're not so hung up on male or female. It's about the person.
We've got a little bit more to explore here on this report with our guest tonight from Ireland, Angus Carroll from ILGA, and you are on World Wide Wave.
I am Bisi Alimi from Nigeria. For those who say homosexuality is a Western import to Africa, I am a proof that you can be proudly African and gay and fabulous. And I'm on World Wide Wave.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop, stop.
Stop That Feeling, Justin Timberlake, and that one's from Trolls.
We've got, we were just talking before about, so this is one of the outcomes of the ILGA Global Attitudes Survey was around young people and their views, that they're not necessarily more positive than the generations that have gone before them. Our resident young person, Tom, what do you think about that? Do you think that's the case? Is that your experience?
I don't know. I think it's always hard with generalizations, is like, you know, just to rule out everybody, but I don't know. I think young people go through a lot with school and stuff, and you might be just, it all piles up. And
look, according to the survey, you've got to be one way or the other. You can't sit in the middle on this one.
Yeah. I think it can be easy to fall into, say, a negative camp if, you know, you're just struggling with your own problems, you know, like if you're struggling with your own identity or just you know, day-to-day life, you might not be necessarily thinking in a positive mindset about a lot of things. So it'll be easy just to fall into the, oh, well, it probably won't happen, or this is, you know, bad or whatever, you know, fall into some form of negative camp.
So do you think the survey would have been better if it was just a click, you know, like or dislike?
Maybe if there was some more... like Facebook has the laughing reacts or the heart reacts or the sad reacts, just to maybe change it up a bit.
Mix it up a bit.
Yeah, that's it.
Just a click. None of this post box stuff. We are talking a bit beyond that tonight to the world's attitudes or different attitudes around the world towards LGBTI people. And ILGA have run the survey, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association. And they now have an absolute wealth of information. As we said, 116,000 people participated in this survey from 77 countries. So we asked the report's co-author, Angus Carroll, what they plan to do with all of this information.
Well, what ILGA World will do with this information, as a world organization with around 1,300 member organizations, we will distribute these findings to each of our organizations and help people to interpret what they're seeing in this data and how it can be useful for their advocacy. So ILGA World does a lot of work at the UN level. So we support advocates in making their reports into the treaty bodies or into the Universal Periodic Review or other United Nations mechanisms. And this data will be really useful for those kinds of reports. That's one thing we'll be doing. And we'll be also putting this data out. Is really our main role is to find the data and to disseminate the data. And then where appropriate, we will assist people to triangulate this data into their advocacy. And this is really why we've done this work.
One of the other interesting findings that I delved into was that just about across every criteria, Australia beat New Zealand, and I think that's important.
Okay, I'm not going to even go there. But I will just say this. The differences between Australia and New Zealand are within 1 or 2 percentile points for the most part.
Yes, you are very right. But and they did beat us to marriage equality, so we do tip our hat to them.
But in that also, I mean, 1 or 2 percentile points are marginal. You can't really argue over 1 or 2 percentages.
Angus,
I mean,
a win is a win when it comes to Australia and New Zealand, let me tell you.
Well, I wish you so much good for the marriage debate and what comes out of that.
We are channeling all those good vibes and successes from Ireland. Angus Carroll, author of the Minorities Report 2017 from ILGA, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us on World Wide Wave.
Thanks very much, Matt.
It's true. When it's a win, whether it's 1 point or 10 points, look, you got to...
That is within statistical error, 1 or 2%.
Ah, yeah. And look, they did well and truly beat us to marriage equality. They did it much easier. They did it quite respectfully in their parliament.
They even decriminalised homosexuality before Australia did, even before the UK did.
Bloody Kiwis, I tell you. Look, just so many fascinating insights into this report. And I think the other thing is, so this is the second year they've done it. And if you've missed last week's show where we sort of delved into the other part of this, go back and listen to the podcast because it was interesting how they learnt from the first survey and changed some of the language, because whilst we just roll off LGBTI willy-nilly and everybody's got a fair concept of that here, you know, if you put that into a country
that doesn't speak English
or where, you know, homosexuality isn't spoken about, then that's almost a foreign term. So I think they're getting a much better read on the results this time round, and they're going to keep doing this so that we'll be able to see how things change, positive or negative. And I do like the fact that when you're arguing against some country where they say, oh, that's, you know, homosexuality is a Western construct, where you can pull out the data and say, actually, people don't mind. They can respect their religion and still respect LGBTI people.
Yes, we surveyed your country and here's the result.
That's right. So, yes, a big thank you to ILGA for the work that they do and for bringing us this report. This is World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like worldwide. Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Saturday Magazine on Joy.
There was no warning about this.
Your Saturday morning wake-up call.
Well, I prefer you not to ask, to be honest.
Hosted by David Macca-McCarthy, SatMag is 2 hours of world news and queer culture. Joy's longest-running news and current affairs program.
I don't remember that.
No, we're probably straight then.
SatMag on Joy, 10 a.m. till noon and available via podcast at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
What do you reckon, Tess?
Oh, look, I feel exhausted.
Sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Kia ora, my name is Tatriana and I'm from the Cook Islands LGBT organisation, BTA Association, on the World Wide Web.
And some news just coming out, which is the association that looks after civil marriage celebrants have said that they don't want discrimination put in. This is, of course, in our marriage equality debate here, the Attorney General George Brandis is pushing for that, and they're saying, actually, we don't want it.
It's not a very good business decision if you're going to cut off the people, one of the more profitable lines of...
Well, that's true. And the stories out of New Zealand are that they had quite the marriage boom.
They've been raking it in.
They've been raking it in from Australians as well going across there. So, I think there's a few people that need to pull their heads in and just get on with it.
Yeah, don't cut your nose off to spite your face.
A big thank you to our guest from both this week and last week, Angus Carroll, a great guy who has put a lot of work into this. He's the co-author with George Rowbotham. It's the ILGA Rewi Global Attitudes Survey on Sexual, Gender and Sex Minorities, and you can find out more about that report at ILGA.org, ILGA.org.
Yeah, you can actually download the report, but it's a big one, so we warn you that it would be
but we love stats, we really do.
We'd also like to thank everyone that's interacted with us on Facebook, Cassandra, Joe, Darren, Alistair and a heap more. Now, they found us on Facebook through W3Joy, and there's also all the SMSs and emails. We do like getting those messages into the studio.
We love it. And a big shout out to our podcaster, to Alex, who does a great job for putting up our show online. Because we actually, so whilst there's, thousands of people listening now, we know there's also thousands that listen throughout the week and throughout the year. In fact, Joy's just cracked over 1 million podcast downloads. Last month alone, nearly 85,000, and World Wide Wave was back in the top 10. So,
and we can't go without thanking the lovely Gordon at the front desk.
The lovely Gordon. Stay tuned. Urban Dreaming is coming up next with stories of resilience, survival and connecting with culture and spirituality. Then Triple Bypass, Jam Sessions, been there, done that. Look, just stick with Joy all night. And in fact, we'll be back next week where you can stick with us again.
And we're going out with Hit Me Up. This is from Happy Feet.
Get at me. If you're a man, you picky pants. Tell you what it's gonna be. You better step up your game before you can step to me. Didn't you see me walking through the door? Maybe I should turn it up a little bit more. I can't help but be responsible. But what the girls hate and the boys adore. Hey, oh.
talk to me, hear me right.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.